So this is March 22nd, 2012. It is about 12:40 p.m. And my name is Abby Mann. I'm a second year graduate student in Community Research and Action. My phone number is 484-919-1792. My address is 862 Beth Drive in Nashville, Tennessee. And can I ask you to state your name, please?
Christine Cowan.
Okay. And your telephone number?
615-907-4019.
4019. And your address?
2623 Big Eagle Trail, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, 37127.
Okay. Microphone is picking everything up. Can I ask you to state that again? I'm so sorry.
2623 Big Eagle Trail, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, 37127.
Okay, thank you. So thank you for agreeing to participate in this interview. It should benefit the community now and in the future. The goal of the questionnaire is to provide a detailed and coherent narrative of your story. In the light of that, I encourage you to feel free not to worry about your answer being too long or too in-depth, so feel free to say as much as you want about any of the questions I ask. And like I said before, if you want to skip anything, we can skip something, or if you remember something, we can go back.
Okay.
So I'll ask you just a couple of basic demographic questions just to get started. Can I ask in what year you were born?
1946.
Okay. And where were you born?
Davie County, North Carolina.
Okay. And how do you define yourself in terms of racial and ethnic identity?
I define myself as African American.
Okay. And what was the last level of schooling you completed?
3 years of college.
Okay. And are you married?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell me about where you were born and what was going on at the time you were growing up?
At the time I was born, we grew up very, very poor. And we lived on the Crabshock's farm, which he had several hundred acres of land. And the house that he provided for us was a four-room house, which consisted of my mother and father and six children. No one in Raleigh, inside bathroom, and no well to get drinking water. We had to get our water from the branch to wash our dishes and clothes, but then we had to go up the hill to my grandparents' house, who had a well, you know, to get our drinking water. So you want me to stop there?
No, say whatever you'd like. I have a lot of questions, too.
Okay.
We'll circle back to some of this stuff. But.
So it was very poor. We had a different house than my grandfather and mother had because since we had been started doing the research about grandparents, we sometimes now figure out my grandfather lived in a slave master house because he had a nine-room house which had beautiful wallpaper, beautiful staircase. The nine rooms were very large rooms, and they had a lot of fruit trees and flowers mm-hmm. planted around this house, so we think that that was kind of unusual, mm-hmm. you know, for him to live in a house like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also written about that mm-hmm. because now I've got my other siblings thinking the same mm-hmm. thing, because around this house, they had nice buildings, a log building and other plank buildings, which were very good, and the barn was very updated-like,
mm-hmm.
and we all now think maybe that was the slave master's house mm-hmm. that they lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they had fruit trees and beautiful roses, standing bush roses, and all that around this house. So I think I've stirred up something around my siblings, because they all now keep wondering if that really was the slave master's house. And across from my grandparents' house, there was a cemetery, but we weren't allowed to go there. They had a fence around it, but we weren't allowed to go over there to that cemetery. So this program had really brought up a lot, you know, that in our minds, you know, that we need to get some answers to. But most of my older family members are gone, and so we're still now trying to figure out, you know, you know, who lived in that house, and why my grandfather was the one chosen to live in that house, and his brother, you know, and all, they didn't have that kind of house that he had, so we're just wondering about that.
That's interesting. So when you were growing up, what were your own dreams for the future?
I really didn't want to do any farming when I grew up. I wanted to do something different, because when we grew up, we had a chance to really play hard, but we had to work harder. And because we had to grow our own food, and we had to grow, tend to our livestock and all of that, you know, and it wasn't, we had time for play, but we mostly had to work, you know, and we started working when we were about 8 years old. We had to help slop the hogs and help, you know, try to milk cows and stuff like that, you know, and how to move them around in the yard, you know, for them to get grass. How to shuck corn. We had community corn shucking. We would, you know, the men would go and get the corn, but it wasn't like it is today. They had to break this corn with hands. And they would bring them and just push it off in the barnyard somewhere, and we would invite the community. They would always come and help us shuck this corn so we could make flour and cornmeal. And we would go to other people's houses also, you know, to help them do theirs, you know, so they could get flour and meal. But there's one thing about growing up when we were in that time, we never were hungry. We always had food, and we always had clothes, and we had one pair of shoes, and that was the black and white, or either the brown and white. I call them the saddle locker shoes. But we never could wear those shoes out, and we worked hard trying to wear those things out so we could get a new pair of shoes. One pair of shoes. And we finally got to the point, you know, where we would walk on the back of them, trying to walk them down. But it was hard trying to get something new. But the farm that we lived on, they had two girls and one boy. And my sister and I, we got clothes from them. They thought enough of us, you know, to give us their clothes. And we had pretty clothes to wear. And then my mother made clothes out of the flour sacks, because at that time they were all floral, you know, pretty designs. And my mother would cut them out, and she would cut the top, and we'd have on some dresses, just spray down dresses with the, you know, round. But anyway, we thought we were rich because we had, and they would take us, you know. We weren't like slaves, you know. They treated us really decent. And when we would go to the store, you know, he'd let us get anything we wanted. And we had to fill up on pork and beans and crackers. And let's see, what was that? Pork and beans and crackers and something when we were working in the field. And we'd only take about 30 minutes break to eat those pork and beans, and cold pork and beans, you know, to flip the top off. And we'd eat that and we'd start right back to work, you know, picking cotton and all of that. But I enjoyed doing that when I was small, But after I got older, I didn't really want to do that. I was, you know, wanting to do something else to get away from that. Mm-hmm. And then after I got a little older, I said, I will never have my children to do what I've done, because it's a real hard life. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, they have the modern machines that go pick the cotton, and the way they do tobacco and cotton now is, you know, you can do that within a day, but acres and acres of fields, you know, where we had to take, we'd pick all day and we would hardly get 40 pounds of cotton, you know, dragging the bags along, you know, killing hogs and stuff like that, digging potatoes. But I wouldn't give anything for that, because I did really learn how to work. And all my life I have worked. So I don't regret it.
What were your family's dreams for your future?
They didn't talk about that.
Aside from working, what else did you do as a kid?
Well, we'd climb trees and dig mud puddles in the branch, you know, where we would get water to wash with. We would go down and swim in that, lay in that, and catch, we call them crawfish. Mm-hmm. You know, they was little red things, you know. Mm-hmm. And pick plums and berries and, you know, stuff like that. But we didn't really... Our parents really didn't let us do things like after we got out of school, or what you would say after school activities. Mm-hmm. We never did do a lot of that, because farming came first. Mm-hmm. And if it was, you know, before we started working in the summertime, we could get, do something, but then school was just about out. Mm-hmm. But we never did really get to do a lot of, you know, socializing after school, anything like that, because mm-hmm. we had to work with the cows and pigs and all that stuff, you know.
How many siblings do you have?
Six. Two deceased.
Mm-hmm. Were you really close to any of them?
Oh, we were all close. Yeah. We were close enough to fight every day.
Yeah.
That means we love each other, but we were close, and we still are. The ones that are alive now, we're still close. And,
what did you fight about when you were kids?
Just little silly things.
Yeah.
You got my berries, and that's where I get my plums from, and you know, stuff like that. We had territories.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, you know, and I had a brother that was really fond of a goat. We had a goat, and he had horns, you know. And this goat would butt everybody but him.
Aww.
He loved that goat. But when we try to get to him, he would always butt us. But we know he never would let us get close to him, and I don't know if it was protection or mm-hmm. or whatever, but yeah, he was very close to his goat.
Mm-hmm. Who was your best friend when you were younger?
My mother was my best friend. And the reason why I say that, because my father treated her like a dog, and he would always bite her, you know, for just little things that would happen at church or something like that. He would accuse her, you know, wrongly. And I felt sorry for her, as small as I was, because we could not protect her. And as my older brothers got older, they said, we are going to stop this. And my sister and I said, well, what are we going to do? They said, for you and Mary, go up to Mama's. My mother wanted us to call my grandparents Mama. They said, well, you all go on up to Mama's and we'll take care of this. Okay. Because we knew that it was getting ready to get started because of him fussing, you know. So we ran on up to Grandma's house, and everything just went crazy. And my brother and them beat him real good, and he never touched her again, you know. But we could not. Ever since then, you know, my father threatened to kill them, you know, my brothers, because of that. But it didn't turn out that way, and thank God it didn't. But he started, you know, after that, he never touched her again, but he was always verbally abusing her, you know, in ways. And I think mostly black men really like to do that because they're weak in some areas. And I feel like, as I tell my husband, that would never happen to me. But my mother had 6 kids at the time, and she didn't have anywhere to go. And her parents lived in the next county over, and when my brothers and sister, when we talk about it, we said, well, she took a lot because of us. And I know that's what it was, because we had nowhere to go, and my grandparents lived up the hill, but they never would intervene, you know, in anything like that. But I don't know, it's just the way it was. I wasn't close to him, but I stayed mad at him for years, and my grandmother told me that I needed to forgive him, and I tried. But as I learned, to forgive someone, you have to forget, and I never can forget that, and I've talked about it in church, because you know, I told him before he died that I forgave him for all what he did. But I said, I still remember. And I still remember it now. And I guess, you know, by us being humans, we will remember and not totally forget things. But it's hard to see your mother defenseless. She couldn't fight, you know, and would beat down like a hog, you know, just beating and crying, and all through the night, the house, we, my sister and I had to sleep in the room with them, and during the night, you know, if she wouldn't give in to sex, he would start fighting. We had to get up and run up under the bed, you know, stuff like that. But it's hard, you know, to grow up and to just think about your mom, you know, how she was, you know, just beaten, you know, like that. So she died at 49 years old, and I remember when the baby died, he said she turned over in the chair. It was a platform rocker, and he said she turned over in the chair. But I was upstairs in my house, and I was moving a Bible that I had of hers. And this Bible fell out on the floor, flipped open to Proverbs 21:23. And I picked the Bible up and I read it. It was circled around, so I read it. I went to the phone and I called my sister. And I said, you know, my daddy murdered mama's baby. She said, what are you talking about? And I said, it's written here in the Bible where she has circled this in the Bible. Mm-hmm. When a man hurts a woman, unborn child dies, and I can't remember it. And that started confusion there, and they said, well, how do you know that? And she said, well, she could have been writing about something else. I said, no. I said, because they told us she turned over in a rocker. And I said, think back, a platform rocker, when you rock in a platform rocker. I said, how is that platform rocker going to turn and stand up on his back and flip over? So I've got my sister and my brothers all now thinking that he turned her over in that chair because that baby was stillborn. Mm-hmm. And I said, she was trying to tell us that. And I said, she told us in that Bible, that he hurt that child. And I believe it to the day, and somebody has got to convince me that he didn't do it, but I do believe he did, mm-hmm. because he was just that mean, mm-hmm. you know. And I don't know, it's just, we had good memories of childhood, but mostly we had bad memories of our mother and dad. He wasn't close to any of us, but she did her best, you know, to try to love us all and, you know, try to do, you know, for us. She would do for us when she wouldn't do for herself. You know, when she could do for herself, she didn't. She always did for us. And that's why I say I love my mother, because she gave up a lot, you know, just for us. What in the world? I know that's sad to hear.
No, oh, it's just and, very powerful.
But it's the truth. And, you know, we carry that. My sister and I, we talk about it. You know, we call now and then we'll get started on it, you know.
Yeah.
Then my mother started working for, after we didn't really do a lot of that farming like we used to. And I think, I don't know what year that was, she started going out working, you know, ironing shirts. Mm-hmm. She would go to their house and iron shirts. Mm-hmm. And you know, at that time they didn't pay any money, you know, for that. She would iron, she would have those shirts ironed up just like they would come out of the cleaners. Mm-hmm. But the money she would make on that, she would always try to spend it on us, you know, trying to get, you know, extra groceries and things, you know, that we needed in the house. And whereas my dad was out trying to run around and trying to sneak in court and all this way and wasting the money that we did get, mm-hmm. you know, for farming, mm-hmm. but he wasted most of it. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So.
Can you tell me about school?
Oh, we had a wonderful school.
Yeah.
I went to our school was named Davie County Training School, but it wasn't like a training school. That mm-hmm. was just the name of it.
Uh-huh.
So I went there from first grade through eighth, and then I went from eighth grade. We built a new school for the high school, and we went from the ninth grade through 12th. And I was good in school, and I graduated in 1964, and after I got married, I didn't want to go to college until after I got married. So after I got married, my husband said, "I thought you was going to college." I said, "Well, I am, but I don't want to go, you know, so and so." So I started college, and I went, I was going for nursing, and my second year, I was told that I had to take a year's speech at that time because of my pronunciation of words, and I have a speech problem. Mm-hmm. I couldn't pronounce those words. So I said, well, I think I will just transfer to something else, mm-hmm. whatever credits would transfer. So I transferred to Secretarial Science, mm-hmm. and I finished that. And I worked for, I think, 2 or 3 years as secretary. And then I went on back and I got my certificate in cosmetology. And I worked that for about 3 years because of the way my husband worked. I had to change jobs a lot because he was in top management at mm-hmm. Norfolk Southern Railway,
mm-hmm.
and we moved around a lot, and I had to work just doing something, you know, to keep from just being in the house. So
yeah.
Anyway, I went to Forsyth Technical College, Rutledge College, and Chattanooga State College out on Amicola Highway. I finished out there. So I've had a nice life, a nice schooling, and traveled a lot.
Yeah.
And right now we are working with our grandkids.
Yeah. did you ever travel anywhere when you were younger?
Oh, we would go to Black Mountain. probably to have a little picnic or something, but then we would go to Raleigh. They had a park there. At that time, the parks and things like that was segregated, and we would go to High Point. They had a big park there, and other than that, that's about it. Mm-hmm. We never did really do a lot of traveling. Mm-hmm. Small.
What were your favorite songs or music or TV or radio when you were growing up?
Well, at what age are you speaking of?
I guess when you were like in high school.
Well, I don't really remember that. I just remember us music daddy-o. It was a black radio station. He mm-hmm. played all the hit songs. Mm-hmm. But I can't remember those songs. They were real wild, so I don't remember all that.
Where did you listen to the radio? At home?
Yes, we had just one radio, mm-hmm. and that was on a, well, we called it a graphone at that time. It was mm-hmm. about like that, and then you lift up the top, and it played records and mm-hmm. whatever. And we only had one radio. Mm-hmm. At that time, and we didn't have TV either. Mm-hmm. My uncle was the only one who had TV in the neighborhood. We'd go to his house and watch the TV, and it was a little square about 12 inches long, uh-huh. you know, the black and white.
Yeah.
And we would all get around there and watch TV. That was the hanging out place.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
Do you remember what you watched?
Mostly old-timey movies, and I can't remember what it was, but they were all in black and white, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't remember the movies, what they were.
Mm-hmm. What was the largest meal of the day? I assume working outside you get hungry, like very hungry.
Well, now, sometime when we'd be working, my grandmother, she would never go to the fields because she would always cook. Mm-hmm. And my sister would always hang out with her and my mother trying to learn how to cook, but I never did want to do that. Mm-hmm. So she would always fry chicken and ham, and we would have big meals, you know, mm-hmm. Sometime during the day, but not a lot of time. We'd jump on the truck and go to the store and get, like, pork and beans and stuff, mm-hmm. like I said, Vienna sausages and bologna meat and bread and mustard. But my grandmother always had big meals, you know, when the day was over. We would always have fried chicken and all corn on the cob and, mm-hmm. you know, just country food, you know, baked sweet potatoes, mm-hmm. fried meat, whatever they call that, was, I can't fat that.
Mm-hmm.
And we would always have that and a lot of vegetables, mm-hmm. you know. But did like I said, we never would go hungry.
Yeah. Did you have a favorite food? Whatever was there.
We never had favorite foods because it's not like it is today. We had to eat what was served, and not when we didn't complain. We weren't allowed to complain. We had to eat or leave it. So, favorites, no.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite food now?
Well, look at me.
Well, I mean.
Oh, well, my favorite food now is, I really like, fried chicken. I do like that, fried chicken. And I love salads. And that's about it. I can eat anything. Yeah. I guess I've learned, you know, to just not complain about food.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I don't eat a lot of desserts. I don't.
What was your first job?
I worked in a spinning company, cotton mill, for 2 years after I finished high school. And it was making thread for cloth. And it was like, you know, like the spool thread. And you had to keep the ends up, you know, walk down, keep them up. So I worked that job for 2 years. And then I got married and moved to Chattanooga with my husband.
Was your husband ever in the military?
Yes. Yeah. He was in the Air Force for 3 years.
Was he? Mm-hmm. Did he ever go on a tour of duty?
No.
No. Were there older people in your community who were around who weren't like your grandparents, who you remember?
Yes, Miss Edna Allen and Miss Odessa Anderson, and it's Mary Alice Peoples. She wasn't related to us. There were several older people there, but now they're all gone. Mm-hmm.
Did they ever, were there like, you know, stories they told or, you know, lessons they tried to give to kids?
No. They never talked about that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
What year did you get married again?
1966.
1966. And where did you get married?
Davie County Courthouse.
Yeah.
I had planned a wedding and my husband's sister was going through a divorce.
Oh.
And we didn't get to do all that, so I had a bunch of stuff,
yeah,
you know, that I didn't get to use just because of her, but
yeah,
thank God it's been a blessing. So.
Oh, good. What were your plans around getting married? What was going to be your next step?
Well, you know, you mean after I got married? Well, I really wanted to have children, and we started out, 2 years after that. I couldn't get pregnant, so finally I got pregnant with my older daughter, you know, and I think it's about 2 years after that.
Mm-hmm.
And we just kept thinking something was wrong, but it wasn't. I guess it was just saying, wait,
yeah,
wait, wait.
Yeah.
So I had my first daughter in 68. And I had my son in 73, which I lost. I lost him at 5 months. I was carried pregnant 5 months, and I lost him.
Mm-hmm.
And then my daughter is, I turned around and had her in 74.
Mm-hmm.
So I at least wanted two, and that's why I tried that third time. And I told my husband, that's it. Because we were traveling, you know, and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And he's gone and I'm there by myself, you know, so
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to have a lot of kids trying to take care of them and he's gone,
mm-hmm.
you know, because that was his job. He had to leave.
Yeah.
And I tell him now, I said, I raised my own kids
mm-hmm.
because you were gone. He mm-hmm. said, well, you know why I was gone. I said, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But it worked out fine.
Are you close to them still?
Oh, yes,
yeah.
Yes. I see them jump about every day.
Do you?
And the grandkids about every other day. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, we're close. And we do a lot of hugging like we used to do when,
mm-hmm.
when I was little, you know, and
yeah.
stuff, you know. So some people don't understand that, but like
yeah.
I tell them, I said, hug your kids even mm-hmm. if they do wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just let them know that you love them. So
mm-hmm.
that's the way I do my kids. And they always hugging me and my husband, so,
mm.
you know, I guess it's rubbing off. And then I go to church and I'm a hugger there, so I say, well, I know sometimes you have to wait and see, you know, about the hugging part.
Yes.
I said, but you all just have to look at me and say, well, she's a hugger and go on.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh,
how old are your grandkids?
One's 17, 12, and one will be 5. Yeah.
What are they into?
Well, the oldest one is thinking about college, and he's getting ready to go on a 7-day cruise.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one, I don't know what he's doing. He's just running from house to house,
mm-hmm.
making friends with
mm-hmm.
his neighbors. And the one that's 5, trying to move in with me. So he just wants to stay over to the house. So I said, well, you got to know that you have a home, you know.
Yeah.
But they're all close, and
yeah.
you know, we're fine.
What are your dreams for their future?
Well, I'm hoping that they will go to college, make something of themselves, and not rush into marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because now there are a lot of things that, you know, they need to, you know, just travel a little bit and do certain things instead of getting locked down. You know, like we did when I guess. as my husband said, we just want them to get away. Mm-hmm. So I don't want them to do that. I want them to just take their times about getting married, enjoy their lives, and just be happy children, mm-hmm. you know. But I want them to make something out of themselves.
What does the oldest one want to do?
Well, he wants to go to college, but I think he's backwards, but I'm not sure. He said, I want to go to the Army or Air Force first and then go to college. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, why don't you go to college and then go there? Mm-hmm. I don't know, Granny. I don't know. He said, but that's what I want to do. I said, well, whatever you want to do is fine, but I don't know which is better, you know, for him to want to go to service first or go to college. But I really would like for him to go to college because there's so much going on now, and it's just, you know.
About school. So at your school, let's say at your high school, how many students were there at your high school?
Are you talking about in my class or in mm-hmm. the whole school? Oh, my class, we only had 25.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's 25. And now there are 13 of them are deceased. Mm-hmm. And I just put my senior picture, sent it back for them to put in the newspaper there.
Mm-hmm.
And I put contact so that I would know how many of us are really left, you know, mm-hmm. because I know there's 13 dead. So mm-hmm. Well, I just want to make sure. So I've called them, my other classmates, some that I know, to let them know that mm-hmm. it would be in their newspaper
mm-hmm.
So they could get back to me, you know.
Yeah. Did you have like a big sports team or like football games and stuff?
No, we didn't have football.
No, no football.
Only basketball.
Mm. Mm. Was there ever any tension or rivalries within, like amongst classmates or within your school?
Oh no.
No. Mm-hmm. What about between your school and other schools? No. What else do you remember that was going on at the time, like in clothing or, pop culture or movies, things like that when you were in high school?
Well, like I said, back then, it was just like, we really didn't know a lot, you know, about other things,
yeah.
But I really don't know how to answer that question. Because the school that we went to, it was an all-black school,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't have different cultures there like they do now, you
yeah.
know, the
like cliques, like little groups, right?
Yeah, and no, we didn't have that.
Yeah.
No.
So everybody got along with each other?
Yes, fine. We all got along fine. I never knew of anything, you know, I don't know. We all had our little groups of four, but it wasn't that we were mad at someone.
Sure.
We would always, you know, just have fun, you know.
Yeah. Who were your closest friends? Like, what were
Ilma Isaac and Diane Tatum. She's deceased. And did I say Ilma? Okay, mm-hmm. Those were the three. Mm-hmm. It's me, Ilma, and Diane. And Diane's deceased. Mm-hmm. And then we had another little clique. They had four. And then it was different ones. It was like three or four in a little group, you know.
Yeah.
But we all got along fine.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. No fighting and stuff like that. But I drove a school bus, and we did have some little incidents on there about the windows being down, you know. But other than that, it seemed like we all got along just fine,
yeah.
you know.
Did you stay close to them for a long time?
My classmates?
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. I have just recently started calling them, you know, check finding out where they were, because now that 13 is gone, and I have two classmates I keep in touch with, and I told her that I found my class picture, and I said, well, I asked them how many were deceased, because I get that paper from home to try to keep up with them, and anyway, it's 13, and the other few, I'm trying to find out where they are, you know, so that's why I wanted to have that in there, because I go home quite a bit, and I said I would like to meet with some of them, you know, to see how great they are.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this. I went home, let's see, year before last, and I met two of my classmates, which are now deceased, and they were just white-headed. Mm. Of course, I am too, you know, a little mystery in mind.
But, yeah.
I said it's really something, you know, because they were two brothers and both of them died, you know, within a year apart. Mm. And they weren't twins, they were just brothers. And they both died.
Who were your closest friends your age after you got married?
I really don't have close friends. I just try to get along with people, you know, and I think that's the better thing to do when you're married, because once you get into this clique about close friends, sometimes it gets out of hand, because I've seen it before. So I just try to get along with people best I can, you know, and I just leave it at that, you know. I just don't believe in best friends being married. You know, I just try to get along.
Mm-hmm. You're involved in, what kinds of things are you involved in your community, I guess?
Well, I'm not involved in anything. I am a deaconess at my church. Mm-hmm. And I am president of 10 churches, ushers. Mm-hmm. And then I work with the missionary department at church and at the tabernacle. So my life is very full, you know, with doing that type of work. And my husband said, I need to do something else. I said, but I find joy in what I'm doing, because I'm trying to help others, you know. And other than that, that's about it. Mm-hmm. And I try to sew a little bit and do little things around home. Mm-hmm. And that's my time right there. Mm-hmm. And by being a deaconess way, I have to call and listen to other people's problems, you know, and I try to give them the best advice that I can, and refer them to where they should go and what they should do. Mm-hmm. And other than that, I just feel like what I'm doing is what I feel like God would want me to do, mm-hmm. you know, in that way.
Yeah. What are your own, I guess, hopes for your community? You'd say people call you with problems, and you counsel them. What would you hope that could come of that across the community?
Well, I hope that that they would try to learn to love each other, and, you know, not try to take over other people's lives by telling them what to do. You know, you talk to them, and your advice may not be what they really need, but you can give them some pointers as to such. Now, as a deaconess, they call me, and the first thing they say, Mother Cowan, I've lost my job. What am I going to do? Well, the first thing I say to them, have you prayed for yourself? They call and ask for prayer because they've lost their job. Okay. But then I asked them, have you first prayed for yourself? And I said, well, have you looked for a job? No, I haven't. Well, you know that job is not going to come to you. You need to get out and look for a job. It may not be what you want, but it will bring monies in to you until you find something better or something that's in, you know, what she has gone to college or school for, you know. So I try to talk to them in the way that I would talk to my children, and the way I want someone to talk to my children if they go to someone else. But then if I can't help them, then I refer them to the pastor, you know. But we try to take things off of him by trying to help them. You know, but if it's something drastic or, you know, that we need to take to him, we have to take it to him. But overall, I think it's just love. We just need to grow in love and put this hate aside, you know. Because now I see that since President Obama became president, hatred is coming back. And it's, they think, I feel like it's because of his color, which should not be a factor, because we have been oppressed for years. And President Obama has good ideas, and I'm hoping he'd be president again, but if he doesn't, someone would take his ideas and run with it and grab his ideas, just like they did the inventions that the black people did years ago. So that's what I feel, and I feel sorry for him, the way they've treated him, because he's really, they have really treated him really, really bad. And it's not because of his job, it's because of his color. And it's still alive today. We grew up, my brothers and sisters, my parents and grandparents, we did not know color, because the man that we worked for, he would take us everywhere. He took his daughters and his son. And we grew up, and my daughters went to college. They had white friends. They bring them home, spend the night, go back. My kids don't know color. They have black friends. And that's the same way with me. I can meet anybody, you know. And I don't know color. I just try to get along with everyone. My neighbors tell you, you know, you don't find a stranger, do you? No. And I grew up like that, you know. But I don't know. It's just, if people would teach their kids to love, I think it would be a better place for everyone.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of hatred out there.
Yeah.
And I just feel like time is going to come when there's not going to be color, because now we see the white women, black men, white women. So the mixed kids, well, which they might be called mulatto, you know, we're not going to have color several years from now, because it's all going to be, you know, mixed kids. Whereas back then, you couldn't marry. Like my great-great-grandmother was white. She had hair down below her hips, and we would tie her to the chair. She would just let us plait her hair to the chair, and she would wouldn't get up. When she died, they would not bury her at the black cemetery. She had to go to the white cemetery, but they put her on the outside of the fence where she was buried. So when I go home, I'm going to see if that grave is still there, but we know where it is. And but they wouldn't bury her at the black cemetery. She was buried at the white cemetery.
When did you first know that?
Well, we found that out, I think I was still in high school. No, it was before then. It was long before then when she died. And they brought her to the house, you know. At that time, you know, you had to come to the house, and they brought her there. And the next thing we knew, they were taking her, but they didn't take her to the church. And my mother said that they buried her at the white church. And when we asked where, and they told us on the outside of the fence, she wasn't put in there. Inside, she was on the outside. So when we go there, I tell my daughters, I said, I would love to go there and walk down that side, mm-hmm. see if it was there, but, you know, they have security now, you know, mm-hmm. in those rural areas because of break-ins. Mm-hmm. And I said, I would just like to go there and see, but it's probably not taken care of anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. What were people saying about it at the time? Like, did your mom have any opinion about that?
They never talked about that because everyone knew she was white.
Right.
But, you know, nobody.
Did that ever come up?
Huh?
Did that ever come up? No.
We just wondered who her mother and father was, but yeah. My grandmother said that she was raped and she, you know, and I guess that's why she was there, you know, because her daughter, she lived with her and her husband, mm-hmm. My grandmother's sister and her husband, that's where she lived. And when we would always go there, she would always want you to sit on her lap, mm-hmm. sit on her lap. And we were big, you know, she would always want you to sit on your lap, kissing and hugging your daughter. And, but she would always find time to play with us.
Yeah.
And we'd just do it any kind of way. But she loved us. We plaid her hair.
Are there any other, I guess, lessons that you take from your childhood?
Well, not really. I just take love because it was a lot of love shown by my grandparents. But, and my father and mother, that was a different story there. Mm-hmm. But my brothers and sisters, we were really close. And my aunt, Aunt Ruby, I had one aunt. Mm-hmm. And on my father's side, she was very close to us. She, you know, my mother didn't know how to teach us personal hygiene and stuff. But my aunt went to Winston State. She was a school teacher, but mm-hmm. not at that time. She was just going to school. But she would teach us how to bathe properly and how to shave on our arms and mm-hmm. how to shave legs. And mm-hmm. I tell my daughter the same thing. Mm-hmm. I said, shave those hairs off your legs, mm-hmm. under your arms, you know. I said, I hate to see somebody with a cut-out shirt on, hairs mm-hmm. under that, and white deodorant on. So I taught my daughters how to do that, mm-hmm. personal hygiene stuff, you know, and how to, you know, cleanliness, you know. Yeah. And I thank her for that because my mother never did teach us anything like that. Mm-hmm. I think my mother was just so depressed mm-hmm. that she just, you know, she just didn't have time for us, you know. Mm-hmm. And but I was always the one hanging around her all the time, mm-hmm. riding her back and stuff. But, mm-hmm. But other than that.
What else did this aunt of yours do with you guys?
Well, that's about it because she was my grandfather's daughter. Uh-huh. But she had special privileges, you know, and we would kind of get mad at her because uh-huh. he would always call us to come work in the field and she would be in the house, mm. you know, standing there being cool. Uh-huh. But she never would help my grandma cook. She would always just be in the house. Mm. And we would always have to work.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, we got along fine. She finally married and, mm-hmm. you know, went to Indiana, some parts of Indiana. Uh-huh. She stayed there for a while and then mm-hmm. she came back.
Was there a lot of pressure to get married?
For her?
For you?
Oh, no. My husband was in the Air Force at the time and mm-hmm. he kept writing letters about getting married because he was my only boyfriend from the eighth grade until he went to Air Force 3 years, and then when he got out, then we got married. Uh-huh. You know, so we kind of I can't say know everything about each other because we're still learning mm-hmm. about each other, but I think with that time we did learn mm-hmm. you know, some important things about each other
in writing to each other.
Yeah.
How did you meet in school?
He went to Yakin County and I went to Davy County School. And his sister, she would keep foster kids, and I got to be friends with one of those foster kids that I drove the bus, and I kind of got close to her. And I would go up there and stay with her because they had a dairy farm. And I would go and stay with her, you know, some weekends. And then they had a ball game, and I met him at a ball game. His sister took me to this ball game where he was playing. And I guess then we just fell in love. Yeah, we had a long courtship.
Was he older than you? Is he older?
Yes, he's 2 years older than I am.
Oh, that's great. Did you go on dates with him?
Yes.
Yeah. Where did you go?
Well, at that time there wasn't a lot for us to do. We went to the drive-in theater, and I'm not sure. I don't think they have those anymore. We went to the drive-in theater, and that's about it. That's all we had to do. It wasn't much to do, you know. And ride around, and that's.
Do you remember any of the movies you watched?
Oh Lord, no. Because we was always kissing and hugging.
I had to ask. Maybe you saw one of the movies. I don't know.
Oh my. No.
Did I ask you if there's anything like specific you want? I guess I did ask you about your grandkids, but anything specific you would want to kind of pass on to a younger generation within your community?
Well, I don't think there's anything I want to do, because I think now most of us are trying to teach our kids, you know, how to make something of themselves and how to stay out of trouble and, you know, how to love one another. And I think that's just about all there is, you know, stay out of gangs and everything. And I have written, you know, some things that I want my family to do is stay away from gangs and drugs and all that stuff, you know, that doesn't make sense, you know. I mean, I know it's fast money and everything, but then you end up in jail. What good is that, you know? So I just don't think that's the way. And my grandfather wouldn't want us to do that anyway. He was a hard worker. And I was talking to my sister the day before yesterday. I never saw him mad. He was always just upbeat and going and working, and I don't know, he always had money and he had land. And that's another thing we talked about, is how he got his land, because he had a lot of land of his own. And I was telling one lady, I said, well, you know, it's kind of strange, I said, because I have not found that in the census how, you know, he got his land. And I asked my aunt, I called her and I asked her, and she said, well, I don't know, he always had land. But the question has come up by him living in this big house, was he given land by favor or something? So we don't know that, and his own daughter don't know how he come about his land, you know. Because he had acreage of land, and he had a lot of land. And it's just questions we don't know the answer to. So we just don't understand that. We know he was always had money, you know. He had money, and he would carry a wad of money on him, you know, and he didn't believe in the bank. He had wads of money, and my grandmother would tie money up in her apron, you know, on the tail end of her apron, you know. We never were broke, because when my dad wasted away the money, my mother would say, go up there and see if mother, we got money, and give y'all some money for this or that, you know, for school. And we'd go up there and they would always give us money. We never did do without. That's one thing I say, we thought we was rich, but we were just poor as dirt. But if I had to do that over again, I don't know if I'd want to or not. we had happy times, but it was hard that how we had to work so young, you know, to accomplish what we had. And then my dad wasted away, you know, and stuff. And we got our first house with one running water and a bathroom. About 1963 or 1964. I know we were still in school. We got our first house that had a bathroom and running water. But when we started getting older, you know, at that four-room house, my dad talked with the man and told us we needed a bigger house because the kids were getting big. So then we moved in a six-room house, but we still didn't have running water, but we had a well. But then after they started growing up and graduated from high school and everything, my older brother got married. That's when he decided to build us a house, and he bought 18 acres of land. And then we lived in that house. I lived in that house a couple of years, and they lived in it probably about 5 years after I moved out. And then the electric company bought that area, and they paid my daddy a lot of money for that land. And instead of him building the house, another house, he happened to move the house on this property. And he just wasted away the money, and of course he died broke. And then my sister took over the house, you know. But overall, it's still in the family, you know, the property and everything, but he just wasted it away. And I don't want my kids to do that. I talk to them all the time, you know. I don't want them to be broke.
Do you talk to your grandkids about what it was like for you growing up?
Yes, and my daughter's like you. She's wanting to tape it. I said, I don't know if you want to do that or not. But anyway, she said she wanted her son to know. But anyway, I have written some stuff. I'm going to put in another book other than the book that we're making here.
Yeah.
And I have all that written down in that, so they will get a copy of that. But life was good but hard. And we only knew what we knew. I mean, because, you know, we didn't have anyone educated to come in and tell us things that otherwise, you know. But
is there anything that we didn't talk about?
No, I think I've covered it all. Because my husband, I don't know why my husband don't like for me to talk about my childhood. Because he gets upset about his childhood, the way he was reared. And I said, well, that is what they need to know, you know. And I just tell him, you know, we had a good childhood, but it was hard working. And just like his father, he didn't have land or anything like that. He was, they were poor also. And even when we got married in 66, they still didn't have bathroom. His parents didn't. And my husband, you know, he holds that against his dad because he said he just don't know what his dad was thinking, you know, for them to be the way they was. And he wanted to go to college, but he couldn't go. But see, then he went to service, and then he went to Duke. And anyway, so I said, well, you know, things did work out for you because then you got a top management job at the railroad. You did go to school, and I said, we were able to send the kids to college without having to borrow the money to do that. And then we've moved around, and we've had six new homes, and we've had new cars and stuff like that. I said, you've been blessed anyway, you know. I said, sometimes hard things make life better for you in years to come, you know. So anyway, but he still holds that against his dad, you know. because he didn't have any land or anything like that to leave them. And his mother didn't have a home of her own. She lived in an old house like we used to live in, you know, in 66. But sometimes, you know, you just have to just do the best you can, you know. And she did. She tried to do the best she could because she worked, but she didn't make enough money to, you know, buy a new house or a better house. So, but I talk to my kids all the time about things, you know. And just like last night, my daughter was over, and I was talking to her about death because I had made all my obituary, I did all the obituary and everything I wanted done. And it's just two people in my house, my husband and I, and it disappeared. So I had it notarized and everything. So I told her, I said, you know, I said, in moving, I know those movements would not have bothered that, you know, because I had carried that case with me, because it's certain things they don't put on the truck. And my husband swore out he did not destroy that. I said, but we're the only two here. So it had to go someplace, because all my other notarized stuff is still there. So I'm just going to give up on that. So she told me last night, she said, Mommy, you need to do it again and give it to me. So so I said, yes, I'm going to do it again, and I'm going to give it to you, a windy one, you know, one that can keep up with it, you know. But that's, I like to talk about death, because I don't want them, when I die or my husband die, to get all nerved up and don't know what to do, you know. So I like to try to leave things where they know how to pick up and go on. Mm-hmm. And I do talk about death and, you know, other little things that they need to know, but not too much other things that they should know at this point, you know, because I don't want to wake up at night and find, find someone standing there, okay? So we laugh about it, you know, and, you know, I just tell them, I say, you know, there's certain things y'all need to know at this point, and then further on, you know, other stuff. Oh, is this it?
I mean, unless there's other stuff you'd like
to talk about. Oh, no, no. I'm done.
Okay. Thank you. I'll turn this off now.